Ladies and gentlemen, I do apologize for being late, but we're waiting for our now participants to arrive. Without him, we could not have begun. So welcome, Aditya, from the World Bank. And also welcome to Ricardo Melendez of the International Center for Trade and Sustainable Development. With the ICTSD and the World Bank, we've organized this workshop for today. I think that it's a pleasure and an honor to be co-organizing this meeting. I would say that it's long overdue, and particularly in these difficult times of crisis and also of hope, there's a message in terms of what is it that we have been doing over the last 10 years, what's the approximate value, how much is it worth, quantitative and qualitative. What does that to do with poverty reduction? What does it to do with job creations? What has it to do with more trade and with more trade increasing investment? Maybe what's on the table is not enough to bring a deal to the closure, but it's certainly a good basis on which to build upon. So I will say no more because you've come here to listen to the experts, to all those that one way or another from different walks and institutions have contributed to this analysis of the value of the Doha round of trade negotiations. And it's my pleasure now to invite Aditya or Ricardo, Aditya, to make some initial comments before we begin our session. Aditya, all yours.
Thank you. Alejandro has been a master of brevity, so the long speech that I had prepared for the introduction will sound completely out of place. So let me say welcome to all of you. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for researchers and negotiators and policymakers to interact in a spirit of mutual constructive criticism to understand what we have on the table. But I would like to say that as we measure and celebrate what we are doing, we must also, both as researchers and negotiators, consider also whether what we are doing is what most needs to be done. And in this spirit, to also consider, especially as researchers, but perhaps also as negotiators, are there other issues that we need to focus on? For example, in our natural predilection as researchers to focus on what can be quantified, I think it's terribly important not to lose sight of other dimensions of these negotiations. There is a view now that perhaps what is most valuable about what is on the table is not so much the dramatic liberalization as the securing of that liberalization, the binding of the openness that already exists. And perhaps that given the huge amount of unilateral liberalization, regional liberalization, the real goal of the WTO now has increasingly become the lock-in role, the binding role. Now, if Oscar Wilde were a trade negotiator, he would perhaps say that a Doha cynic is someone who knows the applied tariff on everything, but not the value of a binding. But that raises the question, how do we value bindings? My colleague Will Martin and Joe Francois have done heroic work to try and measure the value of bindings, but I think they'll be the first to agree that it hasn't been terribly satisfactory. Because how much we value the binding role of the WTO will depend on what we regard as the probability of reversal of policies. The crisis was, in a sense, a huge experiment. Protection was the dog that did not bark. Could it be that the WTO's own success in opening markets, in creating liberalization, has created a new world of mutual interdependence, where the North increasingly is dependent on intermediate inputs, outsourced services and goods, and the South on imported telecommunications, finance and transport? And this mutual interdependence has created a self-enforcing equilibrium of openness. Could it be that even the binding rule must now be re-evaluated? These are the kinds of questions I think we need to address. And I think also we should ask, and this is a question we are guilty as economists of neglecting, not just of why we have what we have, how valuable it is, but to understand the political economy of the negotiations. Why are some content with harvesting openness, while some would like to push for greater openness? What are the underlying economic reasons for these positions? I think greater analysis of these fundamentals that inform negotiating positions would facilitate a greater mutual understanding of what is driving our negotiating positions and perhaps contribute to more effective negotiations. And finally, I think even as negotiators, it is worth looking at what you have accomplished, and I believe it is a huge and valuable endeavor, the Doha agenda. But are there other issues, the neglect of which is impeding the conclusion of the negotiations? I read yesterday or day before yesterday that Bangladesh is striving for self-sufficiency in agriculture because during the crisis they found it so hard to buy rice because many of the exporting countries had imposed export restrictions. Has the neglect of export restrictions impeded our ability to eliminate import restrictions? There are other questions we could think about, but I do feel that this is a very worthwhile agenda, and I welcome you all, and I look forward to a day of rigorous discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Alejandro, and thank you, Aditya. So I also, like Aditya, thought I would talk from some notes, but instead of that, I'll just follow what he just said. I think it's very encouraging to hear from someone that has been working on the details and the numbers for so many years, such a good, again, enthusiastic praise for what is being done here, but also call to action so that we can see the Doha round finish soon. Let me just say that the first thing is that ICTSD is delighted to be a participant in this endeavor. We had a sort of a first chance to present to some of you work that Jeffrey Schott and David Laborde and others have been doing as a first attempt to try to understand what the impacts of the Doha round negotiations are, what are the gains for the various participants. We did it in March, and the WTO and the World Bank has thought that this would be an opportunity to go deeper into that, look at some of the numbers, look at some of the leading studies on some more sort of specific analysis on those possible gains. We're convinced from our perspective of ICTSD that, as Aditya mentioned now, it's not only in the numbers that we will find the relevance of this undertaking. It is mostly a systemic it's a systemic relevance, really. It's the value for global economic governance of what is being done here is large. There are other gains, other benefits as well that would not be possible probably to find apparent in looking just at the numbers, and that's why we have built agenda in the way that it has been built. So you will be hearing during the day from some, again, analysts on some of these numbers, and then you will be hearing some reflections on what they mean beyond what you have on the paper. We hope that this is, again, a building stone to try to continue to systematically follow this exercise on impacts and engage with the whole house, but also with individual countries. At ICTSD, some of you may be familiar, we have been trying to do some analysis that takes, for instance, the July 2008 text on modalities in agriculture, and then looks at what would be the impacts for countries such as the U.S., the EU, Brazil, India, China, Mauritius, Burkina Faso. So a very wide selection of countries. We are now starting a more challenging exercise, trying to understand what would be the specific impacts of the texts on fisheries, not only for countries, but also with the in a cooperative effort with leading scientists in the world, try to look at what it would mean for the fish. So we'll look at the trade, we'll look at the development aspects, we'll look at the livelihoods issues, but we'll also look at the resource itself and try to understand whether what it's being worked through hard negotiations here has a real impact on sustainability. So I'd say for us it's clear, as I said before, that the Doha round, one of the sort of the enemies, which is terribly paradoxical, of moving the round faster, is that the world economy during the first years of the round had been growing so fast and trade was growing fast. We're now going through the crisis and looking at the latest IMF predictions, we should probably now see a rebound in trade. And so we're all expecting growth again in 2011 and 2012, which should be significant. As long as the cost of not finishing the round is not easily understood as a, if you like, a collapse of trade or the economy, then it seems that in many quarters it is hard to drive the message that we need to continue to move forward on reform and liberalization. So I guess what I'm saying, to be clear, is that the system that we have in place today with after the UDO round agreements, system that Aditya referred to as a self-enforcing environment of openness is one that that has allowed for this growth pre-crisis, has now allowed countries to rebound, we hope, out of the crisis, and trade and investment to continue to be incredibly robust. It has much to do also, obviously, with domestic policies, particularly in Asia, and reform policies that are actually in the direction that is being sought in these negotiations. So the emphasis that I'd like to put here as you go through the seminar today is again on understanding that the numbers are not the whole story. They're terribly important. They're not the whole story. The systemic impacts of finishing a round are as important, if not more important, and not least also on the question of perceptions of the ability of the international community to engage in cooperative arrangements, in complex cooperative arrangements, as we move into, again, a more challenging and complex future. So with that, I'll just leave it here to move into what should be an exciting first session. Turn the floor back to Alejandro to tell us how we organize. But again, thank you all for coming, and hope that we have all a very good seminar. Thanks.
Thank you very much to both Aditya and to Ricardo. And I'd like to invite our moderator, Alexander Keck, and Will, and David, and Mansoor to come to the podium to begin the first session. Thank you.